technology defeats us all eventually, doesn't it? Well, this is going to be interesting because I've offered to roll this talk into communion. So we'll see how that works. So, be light. Let me just start with a story. There's a chap walking down a dark street one night, a street just like the one out here. And he came to a street lamp, shining its light on the ground beneath. And there was another guy he saw, on his knees, below the street lamp, seemingly looking for something. And so this first guy came up and said, can I help you? You seem to have lost something. Yes, he said, I have. I dropped my keys. So the other chap said, well, let me help you look for them, which he did. Had no sign of any keys. So he said, you sure you dropped them here? The other chap said, no, actually, I dropped them down there, pointing out a dark alley. So the first person said, well, why are you looking here? Well, he said, because there's more light here. That wasn't just said as a funny to start my talk, but I'm going to come back to that towards the end. So, first of all, light. I want you to cast your mind back about 2,000 years, because dealing with this... I'm sorry? Use your imagination, dear. One of the problems is that when we talk about be light, we tend to think of it in 21st century terms. For us, light is something that is there during the day, naturally, but at night we have no problem. All we need to do is to flick a switch and lo and behold, there is light. Going back a couple of thousand years, there was no such luxury. Life was dictated by two cycles. The first and most important and obvious one was the diurnal cycle, the cycle of day and night. People lived by that. Their whole lives was dictated by whatever hours of daylight there were. And then nothing after that but sleep until the next morning. Such was life. I can't remember when I was first, and I probably the same is true of all of us, can't remember when I was first conscious of the difference between day and night. I would have been very young, obviously. Quite how that struck me, if it struck me at all, or whether it just sort of worked its way into my consciousness, that one moment there was night, light, dark, next moment where there was light, day. Never occurred to me to figure out how this was or what it really meant. I can't, for the life of me, imagine how these ancient people, in this case we talk about the ancient Israelites, thought of light and dark as two things that were substantially different. Obviously, as far as they were concerned, light came from the sun. Now, there were other cultures around that time that worshipped the sun, giving light and heat and indeed life. Well, obviously the Jews, the Israelites, were forbidden to worship anything other than God. But quite how they viewed light, except that it came from this thing called the sun, we have no idea. One thing is interesting, though. This concept of light finds its way into their thinking, into their psyche, as it were. And we can see this in the Old Testament, to start with. Numerous references to light. And if I have the first slide, if you face that way, you can see the slide up there. Ah, there we are. Well, I've chosen this at random because there are many, many references to light in the Old Testament. And even Job gets in on that act. And this is one of the references in the book of Job to light. Behold, God does all these things twice, three times with a man to bring back his soul from the pit that he might be lighted with the light of life. Well, we know this psalm well, don't we? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them, your light and truth, bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of the God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with a lyre, O God, O God. Send out your light and your truth, that conjunction of two ideas together. And this is just a random selection of text from the Old Testament. We all know this one. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Once again, it's difficult to try and figure out how they associate light with God, how they associate with light with truth. Isaiah 9:2. Pick this one up because there's a reprise of this statement in the New Testament. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. Ah, just let me ask you a question. Where in the Bible is the first reference to light? Genesis? Well, I'm not going to debate that. I might come back to that later. It's not quite where you might expect it to be, but it's a very interesting place for it to occur. Oh, now who doesn't know this magnificent, wonderful verse, this messianic prophecy? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Let's move on to the New Testament. The concept here takes a subtly different tone, a different direction, and you can probably imagine why. We'll come to that in a minute. Now, when he had heard, this is Jesus, had heard that John, that's John the Baptist, had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. The land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and a shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is just an aside with biblical teaching. In the book of Matthew, Jesus always is quoted as referring to the kingdom of heaven. The other gospel writers have no trouble referring to the kingdom of God. If you hadn't noticed that, you might wonder why. The answer is simple. The Gospel of Matthew is written for a Jewish audience. And the Jews were forbidden to say, to pronounce, and to write out the word of the name of God. It was a holy name. Hence, that gospel refers to the kingdom of heaven, as opposed to the other two gospels. That's just my teaching hat going on. And in Luke's gospel, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your words. Was it a consecration of Jesus? Can't recall. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. But interesting how early in Luke's gospel the reference to a light to the Gentiles appears. When it was supposed that the Messiah who would come would be for the Jews and for the Jews alone. But we know and we're here because it was a light for the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Now we come to a different perspective. This is John's gospel. I've said in my teaching that Jesus never left us with a book of systematic theology. That was a very Greek way of thinking of things. And if he really wanted an in-depth explanation of Jesus' theology, if that's the right phrase to use, there is no better place than the Gospel of John, in which he covers essentially every aspect of the life, the person, the ministry, and the glory of Christ. This is the beginning of John's Gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not this John, but John the Baptist. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Now, this is Jesus speaking of himself. One of the great I am statements in John's gospel. Again, Jesus spoke the same. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We leave that there. Be light. Well, short of spontaneous combustion, there is no physical light that emanates from any of us. So what is light? Be light. We have no light in our own right, in our own making. The light that we have, the light which shines into the darkness of our life and to others' life, is not our light, but is a reflection of this light, the true light. Be light then. Not in your own strength, not in my own strength, but allow that light, which is the light of the world, to be seen in us, in our lives, in our words, in our general approach to the world and to people. I go back to that story I started with. That poor guy looking for his keys was looking in the wrong place with the wrong light. He couldn't find his keys. He couldn't find his way home on the basis of the light that he was searching under. But this light that we're called to reflect, is the true light. The light that shines us on our way home. That true final place that ultimately we can call home. That is the light. Be light. That's all right. I'll read it out. Jesus' final words to his disciples before he was ascended. This is the resurrected Jesus before he was lifted up. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the light we are called to shine, to be witnesses. That wasn't a command, it was a prophecy. I'm taking this verse out of context, which I generally hate to do, but it seems to me very relevant. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes this interesting statement, rather odd statement in the context, speaking to Jews, Old Testament Jews. And remember, Jesus was an Old Testament Jew. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see him speaking as an Old Testament Jew to Old Testament Jews. And it pays us to remember that when we try and interpret his statements and his actions in the Gospels. You are the light of the world. In Matthew 5, verse 14. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Taken out of context, though, I think that fits very well with this thesis, be light. Let it shine before men. Not for my sake, not for your sake, but to give thanks and glory to your Father who is in heaven. That is the light we're called to be. Let me see if I can roll now from that into communion. I don't think I've shared these thoughts with you here, but I want you to imagine, if you will, that terrible, awful day of Jesus, the man, hung on a cross. Now, a week earlier, when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, people greeted him. Hosanna to the Son of David! He was welcomed as a hero, as a potential king of Jerusalem, of king of the Israelites, which is what they wanted him to be. And a week later, the same people, his own kind, and the Romans, having hung him on a cross, shaking their fists at God and saying, no! A few days later, when that same body was lying in a cave with a stone across the entrance, God's answer came. Not with thunder and lightning, but with a whisper. The world had said no. And God's reply was a whisper, yes. I once asked myself the question, or rather asked God the question, what was it like in that cave at that moment? A dark, cold cave with a body wrapped in burial clothes, lying on a ledge. And I just had this vision of that whole place filled with the Shekinah glory of God. This is what we celebrate when we come to communion. We celebrate that event, not the death, but the resurrection. Because if it has stopped with the death, as Paul rightly says, if it weren't for the resurrection, there would be none more foolish than us if we gathered here today. What? Just to celebrate the death of someone on the cross? So this is as much for us about the resurrection and that Shekinah glory of God. Saying yes to the world's no. At Last Supper, Jesus handed the bread and the wine around to that small gathering of friends and disciples. So I will hand these elements to you. Take of the body and blood of our Lord.